Hello, namaskar. Welcome to episode 2 of The Dribbling Buddhist with me, Neil Webster. I just recorded this intro. The full intro was minutes and minutes of it. Then found out I hadn't actually recorded it. Hadn't turned the mic on. So here I go again. First time for you. I've heard all this once. It's not really that exciting, but buckle up. So what have I been up to since last time? Well, I thought I should Google that quote that I completely mangled. It is like the finger pointing to the moon, to find out who said it. Turns out it was Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon. Now, that's a shock to me, as I've never seen Enter the Dragon. So I thought I must have heard it from somewhere else. I'm sure it was probably, I don't know, probably a podcast, probably a Ramdas thing or something. But anyway, I thought I'd do a bit more of a kind of deeper investigation rather than stop at Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon. And in this finger to the moon analogy, apparently your true mind is the moon, i.e. naturally bright, and the finger is the teachings, which was described as lacks enlightenment and dark. So if you've got a dark, unenlightened finger, then this is the podcast for you. So that's that. It is like the finger pointing to the moon, as told to us by Bruce Lee. What else has happened since the last episode? I've got to stop saying what's happened since last week, because, as you'll already be aware, these aren't coming out every week. They're coming out once I've got them done, which is now. There is only now. Shut up, Neil. Boring. So what else have I been doing? Well, I'm still doing my ice bath every morning. The latest developments on that front is that the baths are going well. I did pull a muscle in my rib cage doing semi-naked star jumps after it the other day. So I had to have a day off. It was like 3 or 4 hours later, I thought, oh, it's a pain in my chest. Have I done something? Am I giving myself a heart attack? And then realised it was all the star jumps after being in freezing water. Who'd have thought your muscles aren't ready for some star jumps after dunking them in ice? Another development is, talking of the ice, I've realised that it's quite expensive. If you're going to buy ice, you know, those bags of ice in the supermarket, they're not cheap. And you get through, if you're trying to put ice in your water, you get through 2 or 3 bags of those a go. It's too expensive. So I came up with a much better system that I'll share with you now in case you're considering the ice bath. I know very few of you probably are. And, you know, I don't blame you. But so anyway, the ice. So what I'm doing now is I've got big Tupperware containers, fill them with water. You can see where this is going. Put them in the freezer. And then I've got these massive blocks of ice every morning. So I've been using them in the ice bath. So that I thought was the solution. But then I realised that I'm putting these big blocks of ice in. They're not really melting. There's a whole, you know, probably mass equation to the size of the ice and how quickly it melts. Physics, I wasn't paying attention much at school. But I did realise, well, they're not melting. So what they need to be is one big bit of ice turned into lots of small amounts of ice. So now what I do in the morning is I get my big blocks of ice out of the freezer, put them in a sturdy carrier bag, and then go outside semi-naked in my dry robe, and I hit that plastic bag with a hammer to smash up all the ice. And I did catch myself the other morning thinking, this probably looks like the least Buddhist thing a man can be doing at 7 o'clock in the morning, aggressively attacking a plastic bag with a hammer in his back garden. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. I can only apologise once again to my neighbours. Other things, I'm going to be totally honest with you now. Because I'm running this podcast on my own, I have all the data. So I see how many downloads I've had and stuff, and it's been, you know, it's been way beyond my expectations. But I've got to be honest, it's terrible for the ego. You can't resist going back and going, oh, this amount of people more have downloaded it since I last looked 7.5 seconds ago. Like, you know, there's not a big jump in 7.5 seconds, but you get the gist. I'm not doing this for egoic reasons, I don't think. Or am I? Who knows? No, I don't think so. But I do because I enjoy it. Am I doing it for egoic reasons? I've got to stop this now. I'm going to say, no, I'm not. But I can't help but look at the numbers. So there's obviously an element to that. The other thing is, there's a long list of where everyone's listening from. Feels like I'm stalking you now, doesn't it? So I thought I'd do some random shout outs. Hello to the person in Avon, Ohio, who listened. Someone in List, Hampshire, a place. I think it was a place. I don't think it was on the list. Maybe I've written that down wrong. Maybe there's not a place called List, Hampshire. Maybe they were on the list and they're in Hampshire. Hello to you. Someone in Venice. I think that's probably Venice. There was someone from Calcutta, West Bengal. Hello. Thanks for listening. Someone from Billericay in Essex. Thanks for listening. Someone from Noldwick, South Holland. I'm definitely saying that right. Didcot in Oxfordshire. And a big shout out to my two listeners in Bavaria. There you go. That's what happens when you give the idiot the controls. What else? Well, I've been listening to some more Eckhart, his podcast. And I've received some more emails from him inviting me to spend a lot of money to go to a retreat to listen to him and Mrs. Eckhart speak. I haven't got that kind of money. Thanks for the invite, though, Eckhart. Maybe next time. But speaking of emails, thanks for all the emails you've sent in and all of the questions. I will do a Q&Q episode next time, I think. And there's been lots of bids for the puzzle. So one lucky listener will be getting the puzzle for the next episode, hopefully. Don't know who I'm going to give it to yet. It's a lot of excitement. I'm sure a lot of sleepless nights with you guys, but we'll have a winner soon. So what are we talking about today? Well, this episode I thought would be good to be a kind of refresher episode, an opportunity to take stock of where you are at with your meditation routine and where I'm at with my meditation routine by offering up lots of recommendations. And then I'm also doing a bit of a circle back to the headlines of some of the meditation, Buddhism, non-duality theory that we covered in the last podcast. So by the end of this episode, we'll all be up to speed with everything we learned in the whole of the last series. It took a long time to learn very little in the last series. This time, it will take a short time to learn very little, which I think is called progress. So I hope you enjoy the episode. So one of the things with all of the lovely emails I've received is that a fair few people have emailed in saying that they enjoyed the last podcast series, but please stop. No, they said they enjoyed the last podcast series, but in between that one and this one starting, they've got out of practice with their meditation practice. Two practices in that sentence, three now. So I thought this would be a good time to reset, as it's a new podcast, and go through how to approach meditation if you're coming back to it after a break or you are considering it for the first time. Right, let's start with the basics. First off, I would say try starting with 10 minutes. I think, as I said in the last podcast, the Headspace free trial is a really good place to start because it kind of leads you in by the hand. Not by the hand, but it leads you in. But like I say, I don't think there's any need to pay for stuff. So do the free trial. And I think they're like 10 minute sessions or something like that. It's been a while since I've done it. But they're a really good way in. After that, you can start tailoring your practice. Tailoring your practice, I sound like an official. You can start doing it yourself. That's more like me. You can start doing it yourself. And I'll get onto loads of starting points. Some places you can go to online where you can get free stuff. But so 10 minutes. And the key thing is to try and do 10 minutes every day. Every day sounds like a lot. 10 minutes doesn't sound like a lot. Basically, it's like any routine. Once you start doing it, you'll start getting the benefit. But if you think, oh, well, I'll leave it today and tomorrow, you know what it's like. It's like everything. Like everything else, you just go, once I've left anything for more than 3 days, I probably will never, ever do it again. So routine is pretty much the key to this. And as someone wise said in the past, if you haven't got 10 minutes a day, then you need to find 20 minutes. That's not right, is it? If you haven't got 10 minutes a day to meditate, if you don't think you've got 10 minutes, you know what I mean. If you don't think you've got 10 minutes, If you don't think you've got 10 minutes a day to meditate, there's something going on where you need to find 20 minutes. You need to find the space. Dear God, help me. So, yeah, so 10 minutes a day. And like I say, I wouldn't recommend just doing it on your own to start, because you'll just sit there, go, right, I've started. What now? And then you'll just feel like a bit of a pillock, which, you know, we've got the rest of our lives to do that. The next thing is posture. Try to sit upright. You can sit on a chair. I find the back of a chair makes me a little bit lazy, so I like to just sit upright. I have got meditation cushions. My name is Neil, and I have meditation cushions. I sit on the floor. I now use a bolster, which technically I don't sit on. I sit astride. Now, anyone who doesn't know what a bolster is, it's a cushion in an unusual shape that you buy for your yoga class, that you drag to classes like you're lugging around a dead body. That's the way I think of it. Anyway, it's like a long sausage cushion. That's what I sit on at the moment. So I like to sit upright with my back straight, so that you're kind of awake and alert, but comfortable. And the other key thing at the early stage is just making sure you're not disturbed. I always let my family know that I'm going to meditate, just because otherwise people shout up and downstairs all the time. If you don't let people know, you just get, you sit down, you're like 5 minutes in, you get, no, 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 no. And you just go, that's not going to work, is it? So let them know and then find a quiet corner. I've got noise cancelling headphones, so even if I'm not listening to anything, I'll put those on. Because it just kind of takes me away a bit. Close the door, and then you've got a little bit of space. You're not going to then worry that someone's going to burst in and attack you. Like, you probably won't worry about that anyway, but you won't worry that someone's going to come in. Now, I know, I realise what I've done now. The next three times I'm going to meditate, I'm going to be giggling at the notion of worrying about someone bursting in and attacking me. Maybe you will too. If so, apologies. So those are my recommendations. Those three. Try starting with 10 minutes. Make sure your posture is upright so you can be alert. And try to carve out a little bit of time and space to not be disturbed. So now on to what to actually meditate to. Three different ways I meditate, or three different things I meditate to. One, I'll use a guided meditation that I get online, and I'll come onto those in a moment, some recommendations. Two, I often like to meditate in silence. Now, I've been doing this a little while, by no means an expert, as you can tell, but sometimes I just go, oh, I know, I'll set a timer for a time. Our timers work, you're welcome. And I'll just go through a little routine of checking in with my body. That sounded weirder than it needed to. And then I'll meditate for, say, 20 minutes. And sometimes the silence is just what I fancy in the morning, which is great. The third way I like to meditate is I've got a little music playlist. I'll put together a shorter version of that. Might not be your cup of tea, that music. You can choose any music. Hey, do what you like. But sometimes I like listening to music to meditate to, because it kind of just takes me out of my head a bit. It's probably not pure meditation. Some people might think that's distracting. I don't. I like it. Anyway, so those are the three things I do. Either silent, music, or guided meditations. So let's get on to the guided meditations, because I've got some recommendations. I've put links to all of these recommendations in the, what's it called? The blurb. In the blurb. So first up, Muji. Now, I don't know if you've come across Muji, but he's the Big Lebowski of meditation. He's like the dude. I think he grew up in like Brixton and now lives in Portugal. Absolutely unnecessary biographical details there. Doesn't help anything. But he's got an amazing manner and he's really good at guided meditations. He does talk quite a lot. So if you want quite a lot of guidance, he doesn't really shut up. But you know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes you want to be kind of led along. If you want a talky meditation, he's your guy. often you don't know when it's... Often it sounds like he's going to end a meditation and then he adds another bit and another bit. It's like he has more encores than James Brown. He just keeps coming back. You think, oh, that's it now. Oh, no, there's more. Oh, there's a bit more. He does like a chat, but he's really good. So the meditation link I've put up for Muji is called You Are Life Itself. It's on YouTube. It's 16 minutes. All of these are free, obviously. And sometimes I go, like, I might have 20 minutes and I'll think, oh, I fancy a Muji meditation. So I'll go on and I'll literally pick it by duration. So I'll just scroll through YouTube and go, oh, that one's about 16 minutes. This one is about 16 minutes. So give it a go. Like I say, like to chat, but it's good. And probably quite, it's a bit long if you haven't meditated before, but equally it's good because you're not left hanging at any point. Never shuts up. Here's a new thing. This might not, I might do this once and never do this again. I'm going to give him a dribble rating of 6. Yeah? How do you like that? How do you like that, Muji? You've got a dribble rating of 6. Next up, firm family favourite of mine, Ram Dass. The OG. The guy that I probably first listened to. I don't know how I found him now. Well, no. Yeah, I first read Eckhart Tolle, first listened to Ram Dass. His meditations are great because they tend to be kind of recordings of him doing live meditations in like the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Yeah, you get old decades work. I could go on. 90s, I did go on. He's just great. He's really comforting. So the meditation I've put up is from his guided meditation library. It's called Just Be, and it's 8 minutes long. And it's definitely aimed, I think that one's aimed at beginners. But give it a go, it's really good. I give that a dribble rating of 6 again. I might give them all 6, rendering the dribble rating completely obsolete. Next up is an app. It's the Plum Village app. I'm going to do some more stuff on Plum Village because I think it's great. That's got loads and loads of free meditations on it. If you don't know, Plum Village is where Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese mindfulness breathing guru, who I think died last year, that's where he was based in France. But so Plum Village have done an app, and like I say, it's all free. I think there is a kind of donate button if you want to donate, but there's so much free stuff on there. And it's really simple breathe in, breathe out meditations where you kind of think of one word breathing in, one word breathing out. Like, they do a better job than me of describing this. Who'd have thought it? But it's a really good resource. Loads to listen to. And like I say, for free. I'm going to give that a dribble rating of 7, I've decided, which now is giving some variance to the dribble rating. Ooh, Plum Village listening in. They go, oh, we got 7. We got one more than Ram Dass. They'll have a little party tonight to celebrate, no doubt. Next up is 2-time guest, if I can't believe it's not Buddha, Michael Taft, or as we really rudely sometimes called him, Dafty Tafty. But Michael Taft has got a YouTube channel that I've put a link up for. He is great. And what's great, I think the YouTube channel is not new, but he's put some like a new introduction on it. And I love the introduction because he says his goal is to provide high-quality meditation, guided instruction for free to everyone in the world. I absolutely applaud that. That's what we're all about. So there are loads of long meditations on there, and I've talked in the past about the hour-long meditations that are amazing, but I wouldn't start there because that feels like 6 lifetimes if you've never meditated before. But he's also got some shorter ones there, and the link I've put up is shorter. For him, they're shorter. For us, they're still 30 minutes. So if you've meditated before, give it a go. If you haven't, I wouldn't start here. The short one that I've linked to is called Do Nothing Meditation, which sums it all up. Just do nothing meditation. And he talks you through, and it's, yeah, great. Although, a bit of a warning, he does do a terrifying Darth Vader impression during it. So, look out for that. It kind of works within the meditation, but it's a Darth Vader impression. You know, what are you going to do? And the last time I did the meditation, I went through these just to kind of double check them. So they were on my list. And I thought, oh, well, I'll do them all again before I recommend them. And I was doing the Michael Taft Do Nothing meditation. And from my earlier tip, you know, make sure you've got a quiet space and you've got the time to do it. Also, put your phone on silent or put your phone on flight mode or whatever. I forgot to do that. Anna phoned me in the middle. I paused the YouTube video and I swear Michael Taft was giving me a withering look. It was paused, but just the way he was looking at me. I know he's enlightened. I reckon Tafty can probably transcend time and space on YouTube. I think he was looking at me. Other things to know about Michael Taft is he once called me a horse's balls. So, he fits right in our world. So his dribble rating. I'm going to give Michael Taft a dribble rating of 9. And not just because I want him to come on the podcast. Like that's an incentive. Ooh, he gave me a dribble rating of 9. I think I'll go on that. But genuinely, something about Michael's meditations make me go way deep and dribble on my leg. Win-win. Next up, it's very male, isn't it? A lot of these meditations, there are a lot of men doing these meditations. So I've included Helen Hamilton, who is not a man and is also English. I haven't done a lot of Helen's meditations, but I've kind of just discovered her stuff online recently. So I've put a link up to one of Helen's meditations. Lovely to have a guided meditation with a homegrown accent. And she's great. She's kind of no nonsense and very calm. So I recommend her. I'm going to give her a dribble rating of unclassified, as I don't think I've done enough of her meditations yet to give her a full rating. So Helen, if you're listening, your dribble rating is unclassified, but that will be updated once I've put some more time in. And lastly, this is going to look incredibly egoic, but I've put a link to the old episode of I Can't Believe It's Not Buddha, where I did a guided meditation. Like, I haven't listened to that back. I hope there are no adverts on it. I really hope it's not a joint guided meditation between me and someone selling you a credit card. But what works about it is that it's a kind of cut and shut of lots of beginning meditations. It deals with scanning the body, posture. So it could be a good starting point. Try it out if you want, but the other ones are better. I will give that a dribble rating of -1. I personally can't get lost to my honking nasal drone, so I'm never going to dribble listening to myself. So those are my recommendations for now. I will try more out. I get lots of recommendations through the emails, and I'm very grateful for those. Keep them coming, because the more we can share, the more good stuff we can find. So, continuing in the theme of this being a little refresher episode, I had the idea of taking a look back at my little green books to remind us of the key points of the theory of some of these meditation practices. Now, you may remember that whenever I read a book on meditation, I like to get a little green book that I bought from Muji, little passport-sized books, and take notes. Because there's so many things in these books that, to me, turn on a little light bulb in your head that I just think, well, I want to be able to revisit all of this stuff, but I can't read the whole book again because life is too short, even though time doesn't exist. So I've kept these books so at any point I can go back and sit for 10 minutes, flick through these little green books, and get an overview of what inspired me in the first place. So today, this may be the first in the series. This may be the last in the series. This may be the last podcast. Who knows? But today, I thought I would take The Power of Now, the first book that got me into this by Eckhart Tolle. And I went through that book, and that's a summary. But I've done a summary of that summary. I'm just going to read them out, and then just talk them through a little bit, or maybe just read them out. I don't know. There may be an element of a copyright here, but, you know, I'll take that risk. So the power of now first. If I've got time, I might move on to Being Aware of Being Aware by Rupert Spira or Spira. I still can't remember how to say his surname. The problem with Rupert's surname is, even though I've learnt it several times, I always now think I'm saying the wrong one. I've interviewed him twice, still don't know how to say his surname. I need a special rhyme or something. Spira, Spira, always. Spira, Spira, don't go nearer. Okay, I'll find out. If it's Rupert Spira, I'll come back with a new rhyme. But if it isn't, I'll always remember as Spira, Spira, don't go nearer. Anyway, back to The Power of Now. So here is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, summarised by Neil Webster, summarised again by Neil Webster. Quote number one, you are not your mind. Boom. I added the boom. That wasn't Eckhart, that was me. So it's The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, summarised by Neil Webster, summarised again by Neil Webster, with additions by Neil Webster. You are not your mind. Boom. He opens with the daddy of all statements. That's about, I think that might be the first thing in the book, in The Power of Now. So if I'm not my mind, then what the F and Jeff am I? My understanding is you are not your thoughts because your thoughts are always changing. So how can you be them? They temporarily hijack you while you think them, but then they bugger off and you are the constant bit underneath. The resting bit that comes out when the thoughts go quiet. And when do you go quiet? When you meditate. Well, that's the plan anyway. So you are not your mind. Boom. Shut the front door. We can all go home. That is it in a nutshell. Like, that's the only quote we need, really. But we need some more. Quote number two. Enlightenment is the freedom from thinking. Now, reading this back in my little green book, this blew my mind because I genuinely thought I worked this out myself about a month ago. And now I read this on the first page of the first green book I ever wrote, which proves A, it's all the same thing, and B, I have a very high opinion of myself. Enlightenment is the freedom from thinking. Stop thinking, you're enlightened. Like, suddenly, enlightenment seems a bit easier, right? Quote number three. Your mind is an instrument to be used for a task. It is a wonderful tool. The problem comes when you seek yourself in it. End of quote. Now, seek yourself in it, slightly flowery language, but the point is your thoughts are there to serve you. You aren't meant to serve them. They are a tool. I know what you're thinking. No, Neil, you are a tool. Don't worry, that's just your thoughts thinking that. They will pass. Next quote. Mind only exists with time, so loses all power in the present. Now is all we have. Stop creating time. I love this. There is only now. Something I totally believe to be true. Not that it matters what I believe. They're just my thoughts. God, keep up. I'm saying that to myself, not you. But I do know that when I say mind only exists with time to people on the bus, generally, it does tend to piss a lot of people off. So I think the whole time thing, let's park that for another time, which again, obviously, doesn't really exist. Moving on. Clear? No, good. Next quote. Always say yes to the present moment. Again, I love this. To be clear, it doesn't mean always say yes in the present moment. That would be mental. And at times, dangerous. And almost certainly illegal. But saying yes to the present moment means dealing with everything as best you can in the moment, which is all you can ever do, right? then don't worry about what will happen in the future because you've done your best now. And you'll do your best in the future moment if and when it becomes the present. When it's now, you'll deal with it. Clear? It's the best I've got at the moment. Next. There is no salvation in time. You cannot be free in the future. See my previous answer. There is only now. Next quote. I'm rattling through these now. Meditation is the portal to presence or beingness. So, what does that mean? Good question. Bad answer. Meditation rests your mind so you're not focused on your thoughts. They may still rumble along in the background, but you don't pay them any attention. What's left? Just being is. So meditation is the portal to presence or beingness. Next quote. Happiness in the pursuit of things is illusory. It's all temporary. Nothing will give you permanent joy. Joy is your natural state. End of quote. Like that gets another boom, right? Boom. All things must pass, said George Harrison, and he was cool, as we know. Nothing is permanent, so it can't... If nothing's permanent, it can't bring you permanent happiness. Impossible. So stop desiring things, other things. The joy and peace is in you. I know, easier said than done, but we come back to the idea that we're all trying to get something in the future that's going to make us happy. When you get there, then there's something else is a problem and something else needs to make you happy. All of that is just an illusion. All you actually have is now, and you can find the peace now. You'll still have problems to deal with now. I'm not saying that it's just we're skipping through fields of whatever people skip through when they're doing that analogy, but your happiness does not lie in some future thing. Has that happened up until now? If it had happened by now, something in the past that you got to by now and you were happy with that thing, then you'd be done, right? I've got the car or the guitar or the pencil that I so wanted in my life and now I'm happy forever. Hasn't happened. Never going to happen. So happiness in the pursuit of things is illusory, even if you get the pencil. Last quote. Obviously not the last quote from the book. The last quote that I scribbled down when I was making The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, summarised by Neil Webster, summarised again by Neil Webster, with additions by Neil Webster. Here is a biggie to end with. God is being itself, not a being. Just leaving a pause there. Religious people to switch off. This one tends to piss off religious people, but it does make sense to me. Hey, everyone believe what you like. But here's the thing, right? I read an amazing book about William Blake recently, a beautiful lunatic who would definitely, I think, be termed a non-dualist if he was alive today. Discuss, like, or don't discuss. But apparently, at a dinner party one time, he was asked about his religious beliefs. And he said, this is great, there is only one Jesus Christ, and I am him, and so are you. Not bad, eh? Try that at your next dinner party, see how it goes down. I think it's time to go now, Roger. It's probably how it's going to go down. And that's The Power of Now. There's loads more in it. Thoroughly recommend reading it. But those are the bits that just popped out of my summary of my summary. Feel free to get in touch with questions which I almost certainly won't be able to answer. Okay, next up, Being Aware of Being Aware by Rupert Spira, Knickers on Fire, or Rupert Spira, Wouldn't Go Nearer. We will find out. This is Being Aware of Being Aware. I've said that. By Rupert, surname, as summarised by Neil Webster, as summarised, etc., etc. Quote 1. Being aware is present in all experience. Whatever we are thinking, feeling, perceiving, or doing, we are aware. End of quote. So, all those other things come and go, but our awareness is there all the time. Bang, boom, say what you like. Exclamation. Quote 2. Being aware is the only stable element in experience. So what does that mean? It means us being aware of stuff, including our own emotions, is the only thing that doesn't change. So, as it's the thing that doesn't change, it's the only thing that is the constant, real us. How do you like them apples? Next quote. Being aware is not an objective experience, but we are aware that we are aware. Now, that sounds amazing, and I both feel like I get it, and you're starting to lose me a bit now, Rupert. But sometimes with these quotes and things you read, you go, yeah, that connects with something in my brain or in my whatever, in my awareness. I'm not quite sure how to understand it, but it makes sense. Unlike that last sentence. Next quote. No effort is required to recognize awareness. Simply notice it. The peace and happiness for which all people long reside there. Be aware of being aware. Like, I'm in with that. Anything that requires no effort is appealing to me, especially if the outcome is that I become an enlightened being. Win-win, right? Do nothing, become enlightened. There you go. Maybe that's what this podcast should be called. Do nothing, become enlightened in one easy step. Step one, do nothing, become enlightened in one easy step. Next quote. Enlightenment and awareness is just being. Like, same as before. Like I say, a lot of repetition, but it's so that it gets in your head. And I think this is probably my favourite. If it is just being, I can definitely do that because I can just be. I've just got, it means getting rid of the other stuff. Well, let's just get rid of the other stuff and let's just be. Next quote. I am awareness. Like, just to be clear, I am still quoting here. This isn't me showing off. Hey, everyone, I am awareness. Look at me. So I am awareness, right? That's just, I am is awareness. So I've been thinking about this a lot. If it's I am awareness, it's basically I is awareness. I equals awareness. I is awareness. And I keep saying it until you switch off. Come back. I is awareness. Like, I say that like it's a massive epiphany. Please don't finish this podcast, walk into your family and go, hey everyone, I is awareness. Actually, do that, see what happens. I is awareness. Do you want to have a lie down, Dad? Last quote. The highest form of meditation is simply to be. Being effortless is our natural state. Same again, but bringing it all back round. Put that way, to me, makes this all sound maybe not easy, but definitely achievable. The highest form of meditation is simply to be. So when you start all this meditation stuff and you go, visualize this, breathe this, imagine that, don't imagine that, drop your thoughts, all of the stuff, it's all just basically heading towards just being, just doing nothing and being and sitting in the moment. But what all those techniques are doing is trying to get you to that point. So if you kind of got your eye on that's what it is, then it's not that hard, is it? Or is it? So there's a last question in the book, which I'm going to ask now. Am I aware? Not me, you. That's not part of the question. That's not. It doesn't say in the book, am I aware, not me, you. It says, am I aware? But it doesn't mean me, obviously. It means you, the reader. Try again. Right. The last question in the book is, am I aware? Ask yourself now, just stop. Ask yourself now, am I aware? I'm going to find some bird song. I'm going to pull it up now. I'm going to ask the question, am I aware? I kind of asked it quite a few times now. I've got to ask it. Birdsong. In the point of the birdsong, just ask yourself, am I aware? Right, here we go. Am I aware? Of course you are. Job done. Okay, that's it for this week. Hope you got something out of all that. Dig around, there might be something in there. Next episode, I think, will probably be a Q&Q episode. Questions and questions. There are no answers, not from this podcast anyway. So please keep your questions coming, and as ever, love to hear from you. One thing to say, I won't mention your name in the Q&Q episodes if I choose your question, unless you give me permission to in the email. I was going to start emailing people back to say, oh, do you mind if I mention you by name? I haven't got time to do that. My own fault. Admin. We're learning as we go. Namaskar. Namaskar. That's what I meant. Thanks for listening to The Dribbling Buddhist. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review and subscribe. And if you'd like to get in touch with any questions, suggestions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Just email dribblingbuddhist@gmail.com.